What this appraiser said in their company, she said, does typically 2 to 5 appraisals per day. They have never adjusted for solar.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's telling you that it's either not making a difference or it's making such a small difference that it's really not noticeable. Welcome back to another episode of This and That, a coffee chat with the Hera team. I'm Kelly. This is my dad, Scott, who keeps interrupting me as I try to do this intro.
I would never do that.
Uh-huh. And thank you to everyone who has subscribed. We hit our 100 mark a couple weeks after we wanted to, but we were pretty close to making our goal.
Yes, and thank you very much. We can't do it without you, and we do this for you. So hopefully you're enjoying, and we'll keep on plugging away.
And I think it's a lighter week as far as content this week, but we are going back to our normal economic news, real estate news, and then whatever else we've got going on.
Exactly right. So.
Ready to kick us off?
I'm ready to kick us off.
All right.
So, slight drum roll, please. All right. We have, last month, more existing home sales. Actual increase, breaking a streak of 37 months of home sale decreases. So in October, we sold 3.88 million homes in the United States, compared to a year ago, 3.85 million. So 30,000 more homes than the previous year. That all coincided with the very brief drop in mortgage rates that we had when it came down to 6.2, demonstrating that there is pent-up demand out there, but affordability is still an issue, and that's greatly tied to interest rates. So we anticipate that we will go back to a decline in home sales in November because interest rates popped right back up to 7%, and so we're at that very awkward place.
Yeah.
So, and also, just as a side note for California, their home sales went up 9.5%.
Wow.
In October, and it's the first increase that they've had in 3 years. So, that was interesting.
Well, this is also a slow time of the year for real estate in general. We talk about the seasonality of different markets and how here in Arizona, we're often a little bit ahead because winter's when you want to buy. But even for us, this holiday time is slow because so many people just don't want to deal with it this time of the year.
Yeah, they have enough things going on in their life that don't want to complicate things with the holidays. Obviously, doing something with the interest rates would help greatly.
Yes.
Forecast is that there will probably be another rate decrease in December. There was one here earlier this month in November, about 59% in December. But as we're seeing, that's not necessarily impacting the mortgage rates because they're tied pretty much to that 10-year bond. Mm-hmm. And with the deficit as high as it is and the federal government having to sell lots and lots of 10-year bonds to finance the debt, that has driven up the interest rates to entice people to purchase those bonds, especially when the stock market has been doing well of late. So that's the challenge. In a moment, I will get to an article that might, again, long-term payoff, though, might help with mortgage rates in the long run. So, but one other note is that housing starts decreased in October once again, and so there isn't that increasing supply to help drive prices down.
Right.
So you have this, prices are kind of maintaining, if not increasing a little bit, plus the high interest rates. And so we've had an all-time low in first-time home buyers, or the lowest since in 34 years, something outrageous like that.
Yeah.
So very much outpricing those that are trying to get into the market. Those folks that are able to sell their homes and have lots of equity are able to make that purchase. But again, housing sales, other than that little blip in October, have slowed.
And it's not at all a surprise to me that builders are pulling back on new starts. I don't see a lot of incentive right now for them to
No.
Build more and build faster.
And I'm not seeing a lot of advertising coming across my plate anymore on buying down mortgage rates and whatnot. They might still be doing that. I'm not saying that, but that sure seems to have slowed down quite a bit. So they that loss leader that they've been providing, they might not be willing to do anymore also.
Could be.
Yeah. So the other thing that I was talking about, and, you know, try to stay out of politics as much as possible, but with the new administration coming in, one economist, so that's total one data point, says that Elon Musk could hold the key to lower mortgage rates, again, the task of reducing bureaucracy in government and reducing the expenditures. Again, long-term payoff. He and Vivek are supposed to finish their work by the 4th of July of 2026. Because Trump is eyeing, you know, typically midterms go against the sitting president. And so if he loses control of the House or the Senate, then it's going to be harder to push through large reductions in government spending. Mm-hmm. So they have a very short timeline, relatively speaking, in government terms, of 2 years to make these reductions. And what this economist is saying, and I'll post this article from MarketWatch in the
description.
Thank you.
English as a foreign language is English.
In the description below. But basically, if you're able to reduce that deficit in the amount that the federal government has to finance, that could lead to then 10-year rates dropping and then following on to that. And that is a more sustainable reduction than individual, you know, market variations that you might see. If the federal government, who's the largest borrower, is borrowing less, then that makes more funds available for others to borrow and at a better rate.
That's a long time in the future if you're thinking about buying a home soon to hopefully wait for maybe rates to possibly decrease.
Yes. The only other, you know, try to be more optimistic for some things to come on more quickly is, of course, markets often anticipate these kinds of changes.
This is true.
And so if there is a signal from Congress that they're willing to go along with the president, because this article also points out that this has been tried before. Obama had a commission to look at this, and it never went anywhere. Mm-hmm. And so, but that one might have been more for show, whereas this one seems to have significant intent behind it. So there are often... You know, having been in government for a substantial period, often politicians do things just for optics.
Right.
I don't think this one's for optics.
I guess we'll find out in a few months.
Well, and again, you still have to have the agreement of Congress to make it happen.
The rest of the politicians?
Yes. There's three branches of government, and a couple of them actually have a say what goes on with the budget.
Yeah.
So that's all I have on economic news for this week.
Okay.
Heavily housing and mortgage related, but nonetheless, thought they were important things to share.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that glimpse of 6.2% mortgage rates and how that spurred the market, lit it up for a brief moment, really shows how price sensitive we are, that we're right on that cusp of getting people into the market.
Yeah. Just need it to come down again.
Yes, please. Anybody that has anything to do with that, please do.
All right, should we go to the real estate side?
Let's go to the real estate side.
All right. So we threatened to talk about solar before.
Yes, as we're sitting in a beautiful sunny day in Arizona.
Yes, you can see the sun shining out there. And I think it's time that we talk through solar a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is not a conversation of the value of solar environmentally. This is a conversation of the value of solar dollars and the dollars that you will get for your house when you go to sell and what appraisers can value that solar on.
So let me translate just a little bit. This is the truth behind what you might hear from a solar salesperson. So that's why we're presenting this data.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think the first and probably biggest thing that you need to be aware of and kind of differentiate as we go through this is own solar versus leased or loaned solar, because they get treated differently, particularly when we go and talk about how does an appraiser look at this. So if it's leased or loaned, an appraiser cannot give any value to that solar. Zero. This is coming from Fannie Mae. They are not allowing their appraisers to put a value on the fact that the home has solar. Basically, they don't care if it saves the homeowner money 15 years, you know, in the future. They care about what, if that house goes into foreclosure and they have to go sell it, what value are they getting for it right now?
And that loan is a liability.
Yes, leased and loan, no value. Owned, might not. That's a little bit more complicated. But leased, loaned, no value. And I think something, before we move on, to talk about here is if you're looking into solar, be certain that you're really reading these contracts. We've seen some interesting contracts come across our plate before with, you know, major price increases a certain number of years in. You know, what started as, say, a $130 payment when the solar was installed, by the time that lease or loan ends, it's, you know, $300. And so you've got to balance out, you know, in 20 years when this lease or loan is coming to an end, is it still going to be worth that payment that I'm making every month, not just in summer when I'm actually using a lot of electricity, but in the winter also, especially if you're running off of gas, mm-hmm. at least here. I guess in other parts of the country that might be flipped, but
true.
That idea. So is it down the road going to be still worthwhile to make that happen?
Yeah, we're working with a client and they're looking at a house that had leased solar on it. And by the end of the contract, it was like $369 a month, mm-hmm. which is nearly double my high point mm-hmm. in the summer electricity bill. And it's like, what's the point of that? It might have been a bigger home. I have had a second story. But even at that,
yeah,
and it that assumes that you're recovering 100% of your electricity bill, which not all solar installations do.
Right. So really look into that. Consider, is this something that you are going to, you know, be in this house for the next 20 years and you will benefit? Because then when you go to sell, you have to look at this from the perspective of the next buyer. And if they are in a house where their top bill is $150 in the summer and they're looking at a solar bill that's going to be $300, that's going to turn a lot of buyers off. And we are seeing that more and more in the market now, yeah. that non-owned solar homes are sitting, and they seem to be sitting quite a bit longer than other homes.
Or what we're seeing, if it's a loan, not a lease, we'll see owner will pay off loan mm-hmm. at closing.
Yes.
To remove that whole situation from the equation.
Yes. Which could be $30,000 that you are giving up to pay that off at the end of.
Right. So you're paying off something basically for the, mm-hmm. the new owner. Mm-hmm. that you're not going to get the benefit of.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, if you're going to be in the home, you know you're going to be in the home for 20, 25 years. I don't know how many of us can predict that.
Right. And I think that's the challenge here when you're talking about financing something for that long.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think about it in the sense of if you're doing a remodel on your home, right, you're doing a new kitchen, you're paying that off before you go to put it on the market. Solar is like the only thing that people are financing and then expecting the next owner to pick up continuing financing on that. We don't do any other work on a property that we, as the current homeowner, thought was in our best interest to do and then expect the next person to keep paying for it.
Correct.
But for whatever reason, solar salespeople have been really good and they have convinced people that this is something that people will want to keep paying, even though they did not choose to install it.
Right. So Now, if there's a solar company out there that has a different plan or a different, we'd love to hear it, but that's not what we're seeing.
Yeah. And then we have been, there was this big boom of solar a few years back, mm-hmm. at least in our market. And now we're seeing the other side of this, of these solar companies going out of business. So then what happens if the solar that you put on your roof that is warrantied and all of that with a certain company is no longer there? So we're finding, again, difficulty of transferring solar when a company's gone bankrupt and basically sold their leases or loans to someone else.
Right.
Tracking down that company to get the transfer paperwork. Do they now allow that because that's a different servicer than the original company? Does that warranty carry over? Most likely, probably not. So then we're having that challenge of now you have something on your roof that you're paying for that you don't have a warranty for anymore because the original installer went out of business.
Well, and then take that a step further. The roofers these days will not touch solar on the roof. And so if the home needs to be re-roofed or repaired, they will not remove the solar because of the liability issues.
Yeah, they don't want the warranty issues.
And so if you can't find somebody that's willing to take on that and your original company has gone out of business, now you're kind of stuck.
Yes.
So again, so these are just warnings. We're not trying to scare people. You know, maybe the better version of solar is the one that you put out in your backyard and it's not on your roof.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. If you're talking about, you know, 20-year solar contract, and most of our roofs are going to be in that place where they need to be repaired or replaced in 20 years or less just because of the sun and the heat here, then you're paying for someone to come take them off and put them back on. And that can be expensive. Depending on the number of panels you have, it's typically charged as a per panel rate. Mm-hmm. And I've seen people quoted thousands of dollars just to have their panels taken off and put back on.
Right. Now, there is at least one company that I've heard of that when they come to do a solar install, they'll re-roof your house also. So the concept is the roof and the solar should age together. And so when it comes time to re-roof, that's also the time to re-solar or just take the solar off. It's reached the end of its useful life. But again, that's one company that I've heard of that does that.
Yeah. And then on to kind of the idea of own solar. So do you get value for own solar? The answer is maybe. So we just had a chance to sit down with an appraiser here a couple weeks ago. And of course, the topic of solar came up. And what she told us was that there has to be another comp that they are using for that property that has solar. So if you're the only home in the neighborhood that's put on solar and none of the others have solar that they're comping with, zero value because there's nothing to compare to. So at least one of your comps has to have solar. And then basically they need to go look at that comp versus the others and see if having solar on that house added value to it versus the others. And then if it did, then they can adjust for solar if it's owned on your property. What this appraiser said in their company, she said, does typically 2 to 5 appraisals per day. They have never adjusted for solar.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's telling you that it's either not making a difference or it's making such a small difference that it's really not noticeable. So something to consider when you have a solar salesperson knock on your door and say, hey, no matter how you get solar, it's going to give value. I don't know how to say this nicely other than they are lying to you.
Yeah. So then it actually makes the math simpler then because you're not going to try to build in some kind of home value appreciation. You're just going to look at what's my monthly electricity bill on average. How much electricity is going to be generated by this solar? What is it going to cost me on a prorated basis? And is one greater than the other?
Yes.
And that makes your decision quite easy. Mm-hmm. Now, depending on where you are in the country and how your electricity is generated, you might still want to make the environmental choice of, mm-hmm. you know, I'd rather generate electricity from the sun than from a coal-fired plant, as an example.
Yep.
That's a different equation, and that goes into utilitarian economics. And
values.
How many utils is that worth to you?
Yep.
So, you know, you can figure that out. I had a friend that measured his utils were pizza and beer. You know, how much pizza and beer can I buy for the value of that object that I would otherwise buy?
Yep.
So, sorry.
So, yeah, I think
John Stuart Mill just came rushing back from my college days.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think I read some of that.
Yeah.
My one political philosophy class that I took, and mm-hmm. then decided that I did not want to go the politics route.
Well, it's a very useful way to frame personal decisions by using utilitarian economics and utils.
And why people don't always make pure economic, mm-hmm. rational decisions.
Yeah, why I buy that Cadillac instead of you know, a Honda. Mm-hmm. Well, there's prestige utils in owning that Cadillac or Lincoln or whatever, mm-hmm. Mercedes. You know, it still gets you from point A to point B.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think moral of the story, if you're thinking about getting solar, just be very cautious going into it and really make sure you're reading the contract, you know what's going on with it, you know what future price increases are going to look like, you know what the warranties look like, all of those things. That way, when you potentially go to sell, you know what challenges you might have.
Yeah, and good summary. Just the other thought that I had is, you know, when we talked about those accelerating prices over the life of the contract, you know, some people might think, well, I'm going to sell in 10 years, and so I don't have to worry about those higher prices. Well, you do.
Yeah.
Because nobody's going to buy your house.
Yeah.
You're going to be forced to pay that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Something to consider if you're looking at solar.
Yes, indeed.
Yep. All right. I don't have a whole lot of week in review. I mean, there's been a little bit of, you know, F1 news and NASCAR news and whatnot come out, but I don't think anything earth-shattering.
No, I'm just looking forward to the Formula One race in Vegas. Not looking forward to staying up late to watch it.
I know. 11 p.m. start time.
It's one time zone away, and yet we have to stay up late to be able to watch it.
Yeah.
Incredible. That said, I also hope they have the storm drains firmly attached so destroy another car like we did last year.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah, very bad. So, looking forward to this weekend just to get back into racing after mm-hmm. a little time off on the Formula One side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I think, you know, because it's a late Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. we're probably going to put up the Christmas tree this weekend.
Yes.
So, that'll be exciting.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm also, are we doing what we're looking forward to?
Yeah, I just kind of jammed them in there. Yeah.
So, as you know, I've been watching Dancing with the Stars this season because, yes, apparently I am a grandma. And the finale is next week. And on the most recent episode, they did not send anyone home. So it's going to be a 5-person finale.
Oh, wow.
Over 3 hours. So.
Well, you have fun with that.
Uh-huh. It's been a good season, actually. You know, watched it a little bit years back, but mm-hmm. not like sat down and watched, you know, made sure I watched every episode, and I've watched all the episodes this season, and it's been pretty good.
All right.
So,
other than what I've mentioned, don't have mm-hmm. anything else that I'm looking forward to this weekend, but I do have a Thanksgiving version of this or that.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you ready? I think so. I didn't have time to prep answers this time since you're the one that found this.
Yes. Turkey or ham?
For Thanksgiving specifically?
Yes.
Well, for Thanksgiving specifically, turkey. Okay. Overall, I would say ham, but I mean, it's Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so I'm kind of the same way, kind of the same way there. Now, with your gluten issues, this would be a gluten-free version of these.
Okay.
Pumpkin pie or apple pie?
Oh, probably pumpkin pie. I also feel like apple pie is more of like a, late summer
mm-hmm,
thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think pumpkin pie is fall. And you put some whipped cream on top of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think pumpkin pie.
Well, there's a reason why all the pumpkin spice drinks come out this time of the year.
Yeah.
Stuffing or mashed potatoes?
Oh, mashed potatoes. I don't know why I've never really been a stuffing person, but I always find stuffing to be overrated, so going with
mashed potatoes. I didn't give an answer before. I'm also pumpkin pie.
Okay.
Also turkey. I actually like stuffing.
I know you do, because you make it every year, and it does make the house smell really good.
Yes, and see, that's probably one of the main reasons. I can have mashed potatoes any day of the week.
True.
And, you know, you definitely... typically only make stuffing on the holidays,
mm-hmm.
and the smell of sage in the oven makes it smell like the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a mood enhancer as far as holiday spirit and all that good stuff.
It's like putting your pot of water with cinnamon and all of that
mm-hmm.
on the stove just to
yes.
give the smell.
Yes, exactly. Gravy or cranberry sauce?
Ooh. That's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
And it also depends on the cranberry. I think the cranberries that come out of a can are gross.
Mm-hmm.
That thing that all sticks together and shakes and has the rings of the can. Oh, gross. Cannot do it. Look at that stuff. I'm like, absolutely not.
Well, that's why we make our own cranberry sauce every year.
So, yes, that's why I do make cranberry sauce every year. And I think ours is also a lot tartar than
yes.
what you get out of the can. That stuff is way too sweet.
Yes, that is true.
So, if it's what we're making, I might go cranberry sauce on that.
Yeah.
If it's what you'd get just like generically, then gravy.
Okay. All right. I'm probably going to go with the cranberry sauce because I like that little zing it adds to the very rich, heavy
mm-hmm.
meal otherwise. And so it's that nice contrast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and we often do sweet potatoes instead of regular potatoes for
mm-hmm.
our mashed potatoes. And so you've got that to go with the sweetness of the sweet potatoes that are even more so than your normal potatoes.
True.
So I think it balances that out also a little bit better.
Yeah. Yeah. And let's see here. Oh, early dinner or late dinner?
We're definitely an early dinner family. that's always been.
Yes.
I mean, what would we define as late dinner? Like
I'm thinking
8
like,
o'clock?
No, I think early dinner is like 2 o'clock, and then
okay.
late dinner would be 5 or 6.
That's just normal dinner.
I know that is normal dinner, but I just can't imagine having Thanksgiving later than 5 o'clock, to be honest with you.
Yeah, where you're normally doing dinner sometime in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because then you got to go, like, nap off your food coma.
Yes, and then that
and
also leads time for seconds.
That's true. Yeah.
If you have that late dinner...
You've been cooking all day, and you only get to enjoy it once.
Yeah, you gotta have it early enough so you can have seconds later in the day.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Okay. I'm going to do one more.
Okay.
While I'm changing this one up,
okay.
So it was originally watching football or playing football. You know, for many parts of the country, playing football on Thanksgiving is, you know. Out in the yard is a big tradition.
Yeah, we never did that really.
No, we didn't.
We just always watched it.
So watching football
mm-hmm.
or watching the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade?
I mean, probably football. But most of the time, they're not overlapping that much. So
true.
Often it's...
You watch the parade, then you switch over to football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit more of a potential overlap issue with our time zones than East Coast time zones.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if I had to only watch one or the other, I'd probably watch football because then you can watch stuff all day.
Yeah, it's football for me. I've never been a big parade fan. Never.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
I feel like maybe that's one of those I'd be better to be there. Although I don't want to be out there freezing. Yeah, way too cold for that.
Yeah, I don't want to be out there freezing. And, you know Portland was famous for its mm-hmm. Rose Parade. And you know, even in my little small town, we had our Harvest Day Parade and whatnot. You know, you got to fight crowds to get there.
I think this is your anti-crowd thing.
Yeah, well, anti-crowd, then you're standing for a really long time. And, you know, after you've seen, you know, X number of floats go by or marching bands or whatever, it's like, okay, this is all looks the same to me, you know. I that's definitely the Grinch in me as far as parades go, but I'd watch football.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So with that, mm-hmm. I am going to end this version of...
Okay. There's our Thanksgiving
this,
version.
This or that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now I'm kind of hungry and looking forward to food.
Yes. I got to go shopping this weekend.
I was going to say, I need to go pick up the turkey.
You need to go pick up the turkey. I need to make sure we have some frozen cranberries so we can make our own cranberry sauce. Or buy fresh.
I do have some frozen cranberries.
Okay. All right. Plus, there's a few other things that we can pick up. Yeah. So let us know your choices in the comments down below and what you prefer on some of these items.
If you have any Thanksgiving traditions that you always do.
Yes. Especially something that's a little off the wall, that's a little different from what we would call traditional Thanksgiving day stuff.
I don't think we have anything particularly unique on that.
Oh, no. We're very... very American traditional on this stuff. Yeah. Other than we don't play football out in the front yard.
Yeah, we live in the desert. There is no front yard.
But back in the day, we did have a front yard. We had a very large front yard, but, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like and subscribe. Mm-hmm. Fairly quick version this week, but, mm-hmm. you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. We'll be back with we don't do Thanksgiving. We'll have a review of the Formula One race in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And what other economic news has sprung out since then.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to do one of our outros?
We'll see you at the turn.
Bye.
Bye-bye.